Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show is brought to you live and direct every day. Sunny Southern California. That's our home. Man, what a good day. And we got Major League Baseball getting ready to get underway. We got the NBA season is back. What? Yes, the NBA season is back. We have last night's game, which was a great football game. I didn't mean all that much. Like, yeah, sort of. But it's a great game. Adam Kaplan's going to join us, NFL insider from Fox Sports Radio. We'll get his thoughts on some of these injuries in Cleveland, some of the dysfunction we're seeing in other places, what happens in Seattle at quarterback, a bunch of things. Derrick Henry was awesome last night. Awesome. Horace Grant's going to join us in the second hour of the show. That'll be fun. And this show is brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. Oh, I saw what Logan Webb said. Ooh, what Logan Webb said about Lamar Jackson. We'll do the what the headline is and what the real context is. That's upcoming next. Let me get to this. So the news of the moment is that Ben Simmons refused to get into a drill today. Remember, yesterday there's photos and videos of Ben Simmons at practice, everybody else in full gear. He's in sweatpants, and you could see a cell phone in his pocket. Here's Doc Rivers on what happened today.
Today, I didn't think he wanted to do what everybody else was doing, and it was early. It wasn't a big deal. Just told him he should leave then, and we went on with practice.
This was Doc when he was asked what Ben specifically did to get kicked out of practice.
That's none of your business. That's, again, that's why practice is closed, and that's, you know, honestly. So not being a jerk, but there's things you need to know, and then there's things you don't.
Here's Joel Embiid about Ben Simmons.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. You know, that's not my job. You know, that's those guys' jobs. You know, I'm only focused on trying to make the team better, win some games, you know, play hard every night, try to lead, you know, the guys that we have here. And I'm sure they feel the same way because, you know, our chemistry has been excellent. Despite, you know, everything that's been happening in the last few months.
This was Embiid saying more about the Simmons situation.
Our job is not to babysit somebody. You know, we here, we get paid to put just on the court, go out, play hard, win some games. That's all we get paid for.
So when he said I'm done with that person, like they're done. And it's pretty obvious it's a bad scene, right? And I think when you factor in yesterday and the reaction to yesterday and then today, the, hey, I really don't want to be here. Yeah, I mean, like we know what's coming, right? This is the couple that that one side thought they were trying to work it out and the other side was like, yeah, I'm just not in. And finally, you're like, this is just not going to, this is just dumb. Let's just cut up the assets, figure out what one's going to pay the next, and let's move on. But the interesting part is that it does feel like the Sixers wanted to give it a go, like legitimately wanted to work it out. And I almost credit Ben Simmons here because he didn't want to show up. But once you show up, you kind of got to do the job. I don't know. I'm kind of torn here. Obviously, the Sixers, now that they've suspended him, will be able to fine him for a conduct detrimental. The other side to it, though, is interesting. Because what if you just threw him in a game? And while he wouldn't play and play hard, wouldn't you just throw him in a game and almost make him? You're going to make us look bad. We're going to make you look bad. But here's what you do if you're Ben Simmons and you act this way. If you show up and you choose, look, James Harden was an MVP of the league. James Harden did essentially the same or kind of almost similar thing. The differences are, one, it wasn't the only team James Harden's been with. Two, they weren't a championship team starting last year. Everything had clearly changed. And three, just has way more longevity, way more equity. Still, I believe Houston did not have to trade him to a potential champion. Now I look at the Philadelphia 76ers and the anger and the venom that's coming from Joel Embiid is likely a reaction to the anger and the venom that's coming from the rest of the team. They are mortified. They are upset. They are angry. They feel disrespected. Hey, man, we all show up to practice. You can't just go through practice. Because the reality is, even if he gets traded, he's going to want to be in basketball shape and not hopping into drills. Like, how are you even in shape? You're literally wasting everybody's time and hurting yourself. But now you have to open it up if you're the 76ers and think about making a move out of spite. Make a move out of spite. Send him to Sacramento. Send him to Minnesota. Send him to one of these places. Send him to New Orleans. Send him to a place where they're not going to win, and you want to play, like, go ahead, do your thing. But we're not going to send you, so we're not going to give you the ideal situation. We're not going to create some sort of avenue of success for you. You know? And I know Harden did essentially the same thing last year, only it was worse because it leaked into playing basketball games. I would say there's a bit of a difference there. But what a bad look for the NBA. I mean, think about it. If you have the NBA feels like it's back too soon, right? The Lakers won a championship two seasons ago, like a year ago. It was a year and like a week ago. So you're packing in all these games. It feels like it just ended. Now it's back. And oh yeah, by the way, in addition to Kawhi being out with an injury, in addition to, who else? Klay Thompson being out with an injury. Like, go through the list of NBA teams and, you know, the Boston Celtics have kind of been blown up. Brooklyn doesn't, in addition to all of the injuries, which are real, right? They're absolutely real. Jamal Murray's still out with injury. You don't have Jamal Murray. You don't have Klay Thompson. You don't have Kawhi Leonard. All coming back from devastating injuries. In addition to which, Kyrie won't get vaccinated. That's been a sideshow. And now Ben Simmons wouldn't show up. Now does show up, but doesn't want to participate. As much as the NFL had drama in the offseason with Russell Wilson floating out the possibility of being traded, Aaron Rodgers floating out the possibility of retiring, wanting to be traded, of Deshaun Watson wanted to be traded and now being accused of all these things. Once the games started, even the preseason games, but once the game started, there was none of this nonsense. None of it. The NBA, it's going to linger on. It's the league of drama. And while it works for them at times, I don't think it's working for them now. I just don't. Yes, you have the Lakers with, you know, adding another former MVP and building, albeit an older roster, a roster that is littered with Hall of Fame names. Yes, you have the Bucks, who are kind of a feel-good story, being back and trying to win another championship. Yes, you have Kevin Durant, who put himself on a pedestal as the greatest player on earth with his performance, not just last year in the playoffs, but in the Olympics this year, and he's back, and now he has James Harden, and we'll see. Like, there is some good, and the Knicks are competitive. I think the Bulls will be competitive. I think the Warriors are going to beat the Lakers tonight, like all of that stuff. But man, this drama is bad. 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 You got to, if you want to win the hearts and minds of the Midwest, okay, of the traditional NBA fans the, I ain't going to practice. I ain't taking off my sweats. Zion's out with another injury. Like, look, again, think of the top 20 names in the NBA. Top 20 dudes. And you have Zion who's out, and yeah, he hurt his foot, but if you saw the picture, he looks fat. He just does. He looks heavy, which, of course, will lead to a foot injury. You got Zion, Kyrie, and Kawhi. And oh, yeah, by the way, how big are the, not just Kawhi, and now you have Ben Simmons. I mean, how big are not having those three? Kawhi, Kyrie, and Zion, all three have their own signature shoe. Those guys are big-time names, big-time players. And one of them, it's just because he doesn't want to get the vaccine. And now Simmons throwing this hissy fit. Woo. I love the NBA. I think the guys are so talented. It's so competitive. It's an international sport. I love it. I can't wait to see the Warriors and Lakers tonight. I'm going to like both games. But Ben Simmons' actions today combined with Kyrie Irving, like, yee. Yee. Yikes.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. It's always, it's really interesting. I'll get these tweets all the time of people who say to me, hey, you know, when are you going to apologize to Lamar Jackson? Like, what do I need to apologize for? My concerns with Lamar Jackson, and look, we'll have people. Who did we have on yesterday who said, you know, he thinks he should get the biggest contract in the history of the sport? Like, the issue with Lamar Jackson is you still hold your breath worrying he's going to get hurt. He hasn't, for the most part. He's been clean of injuries. Like, he is an outlier. An outlier. There have been quarterbacks who run before, never with the volume of carries of Lamar Jackson, and never the ones that don't, no one gets a clean hit on him. So he hasn't been hurt, but traditionally, like, go through who are the best running quarterbacks of all time, right? Go through them. If you say Cam Newton, the number of injuries that piled up, and he is a massive human being. Lamar is obviously the you can't hit what you can't catch. Steve Young, I mean, his career ended because of concussions and injuries, albeit it went a lot longer when he finally got a chance in San Francisco than anyone could have thought. Go look at him. They all, RG3 took the world by storm as rookie of the year, but it was injuries and other stuff that derailed his career. But I've been realistic about Lamar. Like, look, there's still limitations on him as a thrower, although he's continued to improve and they've embraced who they are. He's not a spread him out five wide and throw. What they've done, the difference in the Ravens is, for the most part, they've just stayed in their offense. They haven't gotten behind and done what teams have done traditionally for 50 years in the NFL. You get behind two touchdowns and you start throwing it. But, like, look, first half against the Colts, he was bad. Second half, he was the greatest player in the NFL. And then this weekend, he was dominant. How long does it last? I don't know. Do people catch up to it? I'm not sure. You know, part of the catching up to it is you have to set your personnel really for your division and for who you're going to play most often. Right? So putting together the perfect type of personnel for playing the Ravens is very different than any other team. And so maybe the genius of it is it's really hard to adjust. But you have to give him credit. He's been way better than anyone would have thought. But I love this from John Harbaugh. So there's a Bengals player named Logan Wilson who was seen as being critical because the quote that's relayed is he said he's a running back who can throw. Here's John Harbaugh.
Well, I think he's played phenomenally well. I think Lamar's handled it great. I don't think once somebody does something, some X and O idea, there is no answer. If you're looking for your headline here, I do think that people who make those statements are kind of, you know, whistling in the graveyard just a little bit.
Whistling in the graveyard. Okay. So let me give you a little, this is what was actually said. Okay. The headline is that Logan Wilson said Lamar Jackson is a running back who can throw. Here's what he actually said after his game on Sunday.
He's a running back that also plays quarterback, I think. He's very dynamic. You just got to contain him as best you can. You know, we'll get more into that game plan next week.
Okay, so what people do, and this is our industry, my industry. I'm not one of these guys that says, with the media, like, hey, dude, you're in the media. I want to read you something. So Lamar Jackson's going to have his number retired by Louisville. And his old college coach is Bobby Petrino. Bobby Petrino's now the head coach at Missouri State. Okay. This is amazing. This is actually the second paragraph in his printed statement, which you can see online. We knew Lamar would make an impact for us right away at Louisville. His unique physical and mental skill allowed us to use every pass play in our arsenal while taking the QB run game beyond where football has ever seen. Right? Lamar is an elite passer who makes all the throws. He happens to be the greatest runner at his position in the history of the game. So, however you however you want to word it, all that Logan Wilson said was he's an unbelievable, basically a running back, and then he's a quarterback. Like, he's both. We haven't seen this. Wilson quote tweeted the soundbite earlier and said, this is 100% a compliment to him with his skill set as a runner. No need to try and make something out of nothing. We all know he's an elite passer too. He's actually not an elite passer. We have to stop lying to ourselves. Stop it. Everyone stop it. There's no racial implications to it. There's no naysayers. He is a good enough passer to take advantage of being the greatest running quarterback ever. That's it. We need to stop this crap of like, oh, we got to walk around in my way. Look, the Baltimore Ravens are lying about it. They took two players in the first round the year they took Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson wasn't the first one they took. If they were so sure that they had found a groundbreaking quarterback, wouldn't they have taken him earlier? Wouldn't they? Of course they would have. Of course they would have. So this, all this naysayer stuff, like, yeah, the league is trying to catch up to what they're doing. And it's really hard because he's great at it. Not good, great. Great at it. He's unbelievable at it. It's really hard to play against because no one else plays that way. No one else. But this talk about like somehow it's a bad thing to say that he's like a running back. Dude. Baltimore Ravens. How about John Harbaugh comes out and goes, you know, we took Hayden Hurst with the 25th pick. And Lamar Jackson was just sitting there and we moved up and got him at 32. Probably got him at 32 because they thought somebody else was going to take him early in the second round. It's like we tell half this story somebody wanted to be a wide receiver. Like, yeah, honestly, he was bad. His last college game, he was terrible. He played Mississippi State in a bowl game. He was bad. Okay? He struggled at times with easy throws. You know, he throws a great ball downfield. Great ball downfield. But he struggled with some of the layup ones, the middle ones, and then deep outside the numbers, not his strength. It's not. But let's stop with he's an elite passer. He's not. What he is he's become a good enough passer and maybe even better than good enough, good, solid, and then a great runner. Great, elite, special, unique, incredible. Don't tell me he's an elite passer. An elite passer is Pat Mahomes. Elite passer is Aaron Rodgers. Elite passer, like, go through the Tom Brady. Those guys are elite passers. He's not. But he has a weapon that no one else has ever had in the NFL. You can't catch him. And when you think you got him, he cuts and he breaks again. And then they run an offense, which is kind of sleight of hand, using basically kind of some old school option looks, some single wing looks, some spread, some veer. Like, look, the offense they're running, when they're running power, are they running belly? Like, this isn't, these are old offensive stuff. The difference is him. People have run that before. You just haven't had that sort of guy who can make those sorts of throws. But we need to stop making everybody out to be the enemy and the bad guy and the denier of Lamar Jackson. He's not perfect. He's better than people thought. He's a good, solid passer and the most elite runner. He's basically a running back and maybe even better than running backs because running backs can't throw like he can, and many of them aren't as elusive as he is. Also, running back doesn't have a decision whether or not he gets or doesn't get the ball. That's up to the quarterback. But why do we see the need to make these, you know, make Logan Wilson out to being some horrible guy? Again, let me play that for you one more time.
He's a running back that also plays quarterback, I think. He's very dynamic. You just got to contain him as best you can. You know, we'll get more into that game plan next week.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's get to Adam Kaplan, Fox Sports Radio, NFL insider. A lot of different stuff going on. Let's start with Baker Mayfield. He's insisting that Thursday night he's going to play. Separated shoulder with his throwing arm. He's got the torn labrum. The team's all banged up. He didn't play particularly well this past game. You got Odell Beckham Jr. who's not happy. What's the reality to what's going on in Cleveland?
Yeah, Doug, good to be with you. Yeah, it's look, with Mayfield, it's, number one, it's a pain tolerance issue. He first had the left shoulder injury very early in the season. They felt that it really couldn't get any worse. He's just going to have to deal with it. And when you're a quarterback and you're in pain, you got to manage it. And they're going to decide. Right now, like today, Mayfield said he expects to play. But they got to be real careful here. You're on a short week. He's not having a lot of recovery time for that shoulder. Then they're down to D'Ernest Johnson, their third-string running back, who's explosive, by the way. I was talking to someone in personnel about him this week because I had a feeling he'd play. And Nick Chubb, it's amazing. They're two top backs. Both have similar injuries. Chubb's calf strain is not as bad as Kareem Hunt, and Hunt got put on IR today. He's got a significant calf strain. They've got 20 players, the Browns do, on the injury report for Thursday night's game. They're probably going to be without 6 to 7 top players in terms of backups and starters. It's going to be a problem, and Denver is coming off of a really bad performance against the Raiders, which we obviously could talk about. But the Browns are worrying me a little bit, Doug, to be honest with you. I thought, and I still think they'll get in the playoffs, but these injuries have come out of nowhere, and it really is crushing their depth.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What about the status of Baker in the future with the Browns?
Yeah, and so, well, in terms of the if you're talking contract,
yep.
Or are you talking
yes.
Injuries?
No, it's
yeah,
not contract.
Look, they want him. Look, they've made it. I mean, I know it's for a fact. They want him to be around for years to come. The problem is when you do it early, clubs want a discount, and he's not looking to take a discount. And that's really, to me, from what I understand, the holdup. That doesn't mean by March that they don't try to get something done with him. They have a lot of belief in him. Just being around the team as he was in training camp, I know how much they feel about him. They feel really good about him. Remember, this is his second year in Kevin Stefanski's offense, and this is the third different offense that he's been in. And he made a big jump last year, and he's been fine. It's just that he's a little bit beat up. They were without both of their starting offensive tackles, their top backup offensive tackle, Hubbard, who's out. That's a problem, and protection was an issue. And you know, let's give the Cardinals credit. They were outstanding. Yet another huge win with the NFL's only undefeated team.
Yeah, no, I said yesterday, we're talking about all these other teams. Like, we're not talking about the Cardinals are legit. Really, really good.
Really they good. Are, Doug, and it's funny because I do power rankings every week, and I finally put them over the Bills. I'm still a little surprised the Bills wound up losing last night, but Derrick Henry is Superman. Look, the Cardinals, the thing is, the Cardinals are kind of like the Phoenix Suns playing, obviously, in the same area. They're not what we would call a national team, but they're just really, really good. They have perhaps the NFL's MVP at quarterback, very well coached. And think about it. They're without their head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, who also calls the plays. The quarterback coach, they're without two starting defensive linemen, and Chandler Jones in this game, all due to COVID. and they still win, and they win in convincing fashion. Remember, they blew out. Think about how good they are on the road. They changed three time zones. They blew out the Browns, and they also blew out the Rams and SoFi. I mean, that they're clearly the best team in the National Football League right now.
Yeah, I think it's pretty amazing. The Ravens thing, like, I get that Lamar's been last three halves, Lamar's been unbelievable. He was bad first half against the Colts. That's why they're down so big. If the Colts could make a field goal, you know, they probably lose that game. But now now John Harbaugh is setting in sights on Logan Wilson, who said, you know, he's a great running back who can throw, and somehow that's not giving him the proper amount of credit. What are people in the league saying about Lamar Jackson and how he's playing?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to disagree with you slightly with the Colts game. He actually played really well in that game. I would not say he had a bad first half. I would just say he had a brilliant second half. What I'd also say about Lamar Jackson now, he's a much better passer than he's ever been. And talking to the Ravens privately, the big thing about Lamar Jackson is he actually had a full offseason other than when he was dealing with COVID. He had an offseason, somewhat of a training camp, and that's because for him as a passer, they gave him more volume in the playbook. That's what Greg Roman did, their offensive coordinator, and it absolutely has shown. There's no question about it. He is just way more accurate. You see Hollywood Brown, the wide receiver, former first round pick 3 years ago, who's having a breakout season. Mark Andrews, the tight end, he's more of a complete passer. I'll be honest with you, Doug. When he was drafted, I didn't see this coming. He just was a guy that would run way too much. Yes, he's unbelievably dangerous with his legs, but his touch on passes now is really, really good. We're just seeing great coaching. Just another thing, we're seeing really good coaching around the National Football League. In Buffalo, with Josh Allen, who had an awful start to his career with accuracy, now he's become one of the NFL's top passers. Let's not underestimate the job that these coaches do. They're doing guys like Lamar Jackson cannot improve like this without great coaching
and without great work ethic, right? Like, let's give them credit too, right? You can't just tell a guy to do something. Like, it takes a lot of work.
With quarterbacks, it does, Doug. As you know, being a point guard, it takes you just don't snap your fingers. And Peyton Manning, his first year, set an NFL rookie record for interceptions in a season. I mean, it does take time. We got to be a little patient at the quarterback position.
Feels like Miami's patience will run out at the end of this year.
It's bad. I actually talked about it with my friends on Sports Grid. I've been kind of on this situation with Miami. I just know that their expectations before the season, I don't talk to them privately, they thought their offensive line would make a big jump, but it has not. Two, obviously, was coming off broken ribs. He had the one really bad interception, but played well overall last week. But they spent a lot of money on free agents. They've had a lot of draft picks. Remember, a lot of draft capital. Oh, by the way, that may have happened, but remember, they had the trade with Philly in the spring, and they gave up their first-round pick, which right now we thought would be mid to late. Well, that might be a top-five pick. I expect them to improve. Now, they were down their two starting receivers and two starting corners against Jacksonville, and that's a poor excuse for them losing to a bad Jacksonville team. We got to keep an eye on this because I just know this. We'll cover this business 21 years. When you severely disappoint disappoint ownership, something's going to happen if you don't turn this thing around. This one, you make a very good point. We need to keep an eye on this one. This thing's going off the rails a little bit here. They better turn it around.
Is Urban Meyer safe now?
Yeah, look, but let's put it this way. I was on record, and I'll still say it. He'll never finish out his contract. That's not going to happen. I'm not saying he was a terrific college coach. I just don't think long-term he's made out to be an NFL head coach. I don't think he really understands the fishbowl that you're in and the spotlight, even in Jacksonville, what you're in here. I just question long-term if he's going to understand what it takes to be an NFL coach and be committed to it. That was a great win for them, no question about it. And the good thing is they had buy-in. They've not quit on this head coach, that I could tell you.
Yeah. What about the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy's continuing issues with managing a game? again, you talk to everybody in this league.
Yeah.
It feels like if the Cowboys are going to be great, it's kind of going to be in spite of him.
Well, it hasn't cost them. Now, you could say there are some issues where it could cost them. They got Kellen Moore, who's one of the NFL's best play callers. Really a remarkable story. A former journeyman backup quarterback. from Boise State, who I saw the Senior Bowl many years ago. He's a terrific play caller. Dan Quinn, maybe the defensive assistant of the year. He's doing an unbelievable job turning around that defense, Doug. Their coaches are doing a great job. Now, yeah, he time management, when to go for it, when not to go for it. You scratch your head. Here's what will happen, Doug. If this costs them, they're obviously going to win the NFC East. That's not in question. But if this winds up costing them a game toward the playoffs, a playoff seeding, or costing them the playoffs, then he's going to be in the hot seat next year. But right now, I don't see it being the big issue that some people are saying.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let me ask you about San Francisco.
Yeah.
Is it Trey Lance for the rest of the year?
Well, no, Jimmy G, my understanding was that Jimmy G, as long as his calf is fine, and he looked good yesterday, he's going to be the guy. But the question is not about that right now. It's how long is that leash going to be? Because with Jimmy Garoppolo, it's never been about performance. It's about staying healthy. He just has had, whether it's the ACL injury where it didn't slide, he had multiple high ankle sprains last season, calf strain or calf contusion here. He's been hurt a lot. You know, I was on the record saying right after the season, you could mark this down. They're going to draft a quarterback in the first or second round. I knew that privately they were frustrated with Jimmy's injuries. They liked Jimmy very much. And, you know, they admitted publicly, that John Lynch did in local radio, that they looked into Tom Brady. But, you know, they ultimately didn't do it. But the fact of the matter is, long term, we know it's Trey Lance. It's just a matter of they've lost three in a row. Trey Lance clearly shows he's not ready, as Justin Fields shows that. Needs more seasoning. But these guys are the future at the quarterback position. With Trey Lance, though, it's just a matter of is Garoppolo A going to stay healthy and B are they going to win with him? Now they're 2-3. They play a Colts team that, as you and I know, they completely outplayed the Ravens and blew that game, and they had a blowout win. You know, the Colts are two games back of first place. They still got to play the Titans once again. I'm not ruling them out for making a furious comeback and winning that division.
Okay, you also and cover the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we know now Jalen. I've been trying to tell people Jalen Hurts, like, you know, not a starter long term. That's the general feeling, right?
Well, with internally, they've pledged to take the season to learn about whether he could be. It sure doesn't look like he will be, but they're not. They're going to play this. Their plan is, I could just tell you, that their plan is to play this out. They're 2-4. They were not expected to be a playoff team. The word around the league is they felt that this is a semi-rebuild, not a full rebuild. It's to sort of retool the roster without saying it's a full rebuild, but they've got a lot of work to do. It's not just quarterback. They have a mixture of older players that have bad contracts and younger players they want to develop.
Right.
You've got a rookie head coach calling the plays for the first time. You have a rookie defense coordinator calling the plays for the first time. That, if you rub that all in together with a quarterback who's been wildly inconsistent, I'm being kind, you've got a bad football team. That's kind of what they are, 2-4 here. But they're not ready yet to pull the plug, I could tell you that it's not happening yet.
What about the Giants? What happens if this trend continues in the offseason?
Well, you're looking at a front office change. I know that they gave Dave Gettleman a vote of confidence, the ownership did, but it's they've had unfortunate amount of injuries, particularly at wide receiver. They've had five of their top six receivers have been on the injury report or out for a while, so that's been a problem. But Dave Gettleman's inability to build an offensive line has been a problem. Daniel Jones saved this past game. He's actually played pretty well up to this game against the Rams, where the Rams absolutely kicked their butt. But, no, it's an offensive line problem. Their defense has regressed significantly after being a big surprise last season. That's the other thing people aren't talking about. What in the world's happened to their defense?
It's bad.
Very bad.
Just bad. Hey, great stuff, Cap. We'll talk next week. Appreciate you joining us.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Commissioner David Stern, Commissioner Adam Silver talking right now on TV. We'll bring that for you. Pretty interesting stuff in regards to the Ben Simmons situation. In the meantime, let's get to Dan Beyer with a game.
This is Game Time.
It's Game Time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Dan Beyer, what's the game?
Beyer, Doug, the game today is?
Rank 'em.
All right, Doug, rank your three most likely matchups that we will see in the World Series. There are four possibilities, but I want to know your top three.
Okay. I would say I mean, like, look, right now the Dodgers are down 2-0. And we can, Dodger fans will be like, no problem. We got home field. Like, it's, you got an issue there, right? You got a taxed bullpen. You're missing Clayton Kershaw. You got a, your ace has got a tired arm. So I'm going to go Braves as the most likely out of the National League. I'm going to say Braves, Red Sox, then Braves, Astros, then Dodgers, Red Sox, and Dodgers, Astros.
All right.
In that order.
Okay, Doug, rank your top three teams right now in the National Football League.
Okay. I'll put the Rams at 3, the Buccaneers at 2, and the Cardinals at 1.
Ooh, an NFC filled the top 3. No room for the AFC. Doug, on the heels of last night's performance of Derrick Henry and really what he's done all season long, this is not your rankings of who's the best, but who are your 3 favorite running backs of your lifetime?
3 favorite running backs. Wow, that's a great question. I know who number 1 is. That one's pretty easy. Other 2. Oh, okay. Okay, I know who 2 are. I know who number 2 is. Who's my 3rd? Okay, so number 1 is Barry Sanders. Number 2 is Marshall Faulk. Who's number 3? Who's number 3? There's a long list. I mean, you got Sweetness. You got Eric Dickerson. You got your guy, Kurt Warner, right?
Sure.
You got Derrick Henry, CJ2K.
Christian Okoye.
Christian Okoye, the Nigerian nightmare. Great nickname. Yeah. Right? All-time great nickname.
Bo Jackson,
but very short-lived. Marcus Allen.
What about LaDainian Tomlinson?
LT. Guy? There you go. He was the MVP of the league. All right. So LT 3, Marshall Faulk 2, and Barry Sanders.
All right. NBA season starts tonight. Rank your 3 favorites to win the NBA title.
Okay. I'll go. Bucks 3. Lakers 2, Nets 1.
All right. I wondered if the Sixers were going to slide in there. I think this could bring them together. Finally, Doug, rank your 3 favorites to win the NBA's MVP.
Ooh. NBA's MVP, 3 favorites. Giannis 3, Steph 2, Luka 1.
All right.
You don't want to do 3 favorite type of fish?
Well, we can. Yeah, what are your 3 favorite types of fish?
I had salmon last night. It was good. I think salmon's 1. Solid. Swordfish on the grill is amazing. That's 2. And
Jay Stu's, like, Filet-O-Fish, maybe? Maybe Filet-O-Fish?
Mackerel sushi.
All right.
It's a little stinky.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Okay, so the Bills went for the win instead of the tie last night and failed. Okay, but it's not about the result. It's about the process. And here's what I do. Coming up next, just a simple explanation why, in that particular instance, the Bills made a mistake. That's next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.